My deepest longing and most ravenous craving is also my deepest fear and most dismantling belief. To be fully seen and truly known. To have everything that I've ever been, thought, and done fully exposed. Will they stay or will they go? Will they be like me and run away when they realize they've been deceived? Or will they choose to stay and love despite the grim reality? Anyone that knows me knows that I ask a lot of questions. It's something you either love or hate about me. There seems to be no in between. But for all the questions that I ask others, I'm asking myself a dozen more. It's how I explore and learn. It helps me lean less toward judging and more toward a deeper understanding and connectedness to myself and humanity. I've spent the past 3 years asking myself a lot of tough questions, and even more time sitting with those questions until answers unearth themselves. I wavered back and forth trying to decide what I would include in this podcast, and quite frankly, if I was even going to create and give the world access to it. This was an unplanned and unexpected path I found myself on, but one that I felt nudged to forge forward on. And in some sense, it's the most reckless thing I've ever done, and there are plenty of people that agree with me on that. But it's also one that led to a profound personal awakening. Experiencing everything that comes with being active on dating apps, it was a mindfuckery for me. In the process of entangling this experience and producing this podcast, it's been intensive, time-consuming, lonely, and an emotional roller coaster, to say the least. A lot of the content you'll hear throughout the podcast is audio that I recorded for my personal vlogs and audio journals throughout my dating journey. I started vlogging years ago, long before all of this. And I did so because I realized that when I look back at things, I don't always remember what I felt in certain moments or remember those things clearly, especially if I was feeling overwhelmed and overstimulated in some way. And that's just part of being on the neurodivergent spectrum. I process things differently and at a different pace from the average person. So being able to go back and listen and watch my recordings, it helps me understand myself better and process things in a way that feels right to me. I knew that with dating, I'd be overstimulated and overwhelmed, and thought that vlogging would help me through it. I wasn't wrong. In some of that audio, it isn't the best quality. Because when I first started recording my vlogs and audio journals on this dating journey, I never planned on anyone else ever listening to them, let alone using them in a podcast. It was supposed to be for my ears and eyes only. So that's why I wasn't concerned about background noise and the overall quality. So bear with me on that. I do my best to clean it up as I go. In addition, there will be audio from recorded conversations I had with the guy I dated for 6 months. However, his voice will be distorted and I will never reveal his real name or that of the others I mention. I don't take it lightly that these stories include the lives of people beyond me. I'm not here trying to ruin anyone's life. Yes, I give you a peek behind some of the flags of the guys I encountered on dating apps, especially one in particular. But I took great care in piecing this together, and I did so with the intent of sharing a story to empower others, rather than to trash or destroy any specific guy. But also, I don't shy away from calling out the bullshit. I'm fortunate to have some of the most incredible humans in my life. They've loved me unconditionally through peaks and valleys. They lean in and listen. They add value to my life in so many meaningful ways. And they call me out on my bullshit and hold me accountable. They just make me a better person. With this podcast, I reveal layers of myself very few have ever witnessed. I give you access to my psyche during a time when I was barely treading water and was going through a transformation that wasn't pretty. My people, they're going to see me in a different light. Which is one of the reasons I wavered on publishing this podcast. Would my squad, the ones that are my safe havens and my people, would they still want to make room for me in their lives after hearing this podcast? That was one of the questions I constantly pondered. I'd also been told by a handful of male friends that after any guy hears this podcast, he'll want nothing to do with me romantically and I'll be alone forever as the biggest red flag in Cleveland. There were other factors that kept me wavering as well. I weighed all the consequences carefully, consulted legal counsel along with the wisdom of a few people that I respect and knew would be brutally honest with me. And then I sat with it a long while before ultimately making my decision to publish this podcast. Several people asked me to reconsider moving forward with it. A few others kept asking me if I was sure I really wanted to do this. And then there were the small handful that have been my cheerleaders encouraging me along the way. I truly appreciate each and every one of them for their honest feedback and genuinely looking out for me. But ultimately, if the people I choose as my squad and the person I choose as my partner don't want to choose me after hearing this podcast, so be it. Take me or leave me. I promised myself over a year ago that I would always choose me, even when it felt contradictory. That I would be authentically me, that I'd listen to my intuition and step into my knowing, even when it scared and cost me. The person I can't live without, it's me. Others may not love or even like her, but I do. This story, there's a lot to it. I didn't know exactly how I would piece it together, but I knew it was one that needed to be shared. I knew it in my bones. So here we are, episode one. Welcome. Everything this project embodies is every fiber of my being for a little over 10 months, fully and completely, for better or for worse. May it shine light on truth and love, healing, and evolving. I'm going to issue a trigger warning before every episode. If you're someone that has been on the receiving end of any type of abuse, this podcast will be triggering content. Listen with caution. If you're someone that personally knows me, your perspective of me will undoubtedly shift after each episode. For better or for worse, listen with caution. So it's Sunday, November 20th, 2022. It is 2:55 a.m. in the morning. So, full disclosure, when I first started on my journey of dating apps, I was still technically married. We were separated and living apart and in the process of getting a divorce. But the main reason that I took a step in the direction of dating apps was not so much because I was ready to date. My heart had healed from my past relationship, and I wasn't necessarily ready, quote unquote, to be in a relationship, but as horrible as it sounds, I was doing it as a social experiment, if you will. For multiple reasons, I had, for the first time in my life, finally figured out who I was and became comfortable in my own skin and fell in love with myself. And in that unlearning and becoming, I discovered that I didn't really know what kind of partner I wanted in my life. My past partners I chose based on this idea of a life that I thought I wanted based off of a foundation I was given by family and other influential people in my life as a child. It was this whole construct that I had in my head, and I didn't realize that I had different wantings. And so this social experiment was to see what was out there, see what I liked, what I disliked. And in the process, I became more jaded about humans and the human experience more than ever. As you just heard in that audio journal, when I first jumped into the dating app world, I wasn't ready to enter into a serious relationship. I went in with the intent to learn more about myself and what I wanted in a partner. But also, I wanted to try to understand guys better, because despite having four brothers and close male friends, I still find myself baffled by them from time to time, and I guess I always will. But in some way, I thought that if I could understand guys better, my dating experience would go better. Turns out I was wrong. And that marriage that was ending? Yeah. I had never been in love with another human the way I was with my ex-husband. And like everyone else, we both had a lot of inner conflicts and unhealthy habits we needed to address. Things that were wreaking havoc on our marriage. And when we chose to heal, our individual paths looked different from each other and no longer aligned. So when we moved in those opposite directions, we pulled out the tiny pin that had been barely holding us together, and it blew our relationship to shreds. I was told that before I was proposed to, that God said I would be difficult to love. And God had been right. I had been the most difficult person to love. Others I once trusted joining in on that belief, it only made me feel more shattered. And then he told me it was going from a divorce to an annulment, which essentially means the government erases our marriage like it never happened at all. And all of it, it left me feeling more broken and alone than I'd ever felt in my entire life. But it was a necessary breaking, and I grew to love my time alone. It gave me the space to bleed out my conditioning and traumas, my toxic habits and beliefs, to confront the most wounded parts of myself and really examine what unhealthy and healthy contributions I had made in past relationships. And as I healed, I began to see myself the way some of my favorite people see me. And it was breathtaking. With time, I no longer saw it as breaking at all. It was a gift, the opportunity to let truth and light transfuse into the parts of me that held the most pain. I got to dance along the cracks. It was a portal to transcend. I no longer had to pretend and hold it all together for the sake of saving face. And when I found myself in that liminal space, the intersection of an almost annulled marriage and my readiness to explore what was beyond it, being the woman that finally felt home in her own skin, I decided to step full throttle into a social experiment, one that I could never have prepared for. March
27th, 2023. As usual, just thoughts. You don't know what you want until you get what you don't want. I feel like the first 41 years of my life, I was Goldilocks. I know that sounds lame, but I feel like I had to test things out to know if I liked them, and not test things out like in a way that there was no meaning to them than what I had and experienced with those things. It was just that with time, I learned that I didn't want, like, or love certain things, especially when it cost me and my autonomy and my heart, who I am at my core, my very essence. I wasn't willing to abandon myself anymore, and it took me 41. Honestly, it probably took me, 41 years. I think I learned that in my 38th year. And it took me till my 40th year to be brave enough to walk that out. And then I kept on experimenting, if you will. I kept testing because it's the only way that I was able to gain the perspective of what it was that I wanted. And I know. I know what I want. I know what I deserve. And I have spent so much time and effort and love into healing myself and loving myself.
They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. When it came to my romantic life, Well, actually all areas of my life. I stuck to a model that was taught to me as a child. It's all I knew. But after a lifetime, it proved to harm me more than it helped me. And unfortunately, it took me 3 unhealthy relationships ending in heartbreak, health challenges that flipped my life upside down, 40 years, a lot of therapy, and a lot of self-awareness to finally realize my insanity before choosing to do the hard work of healing and choosing to live life differently. My advice to myself before I dove into the deep end? Dare to choose differently, Christina. Take the current of curiosity and enjoy the ride. Before the love of God, please keep your life jacket on. Okay. So let's get to the juicy stuff. I know that's why you're all really here. You're about to listen to some of the audio from the first few vlogs I recorded right after creating dating profiles. Here we go.
But it is Saturday, July 16th, 2022. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe. I just wanted to jump on. It's been a while, as I always say, it's been a while since my last video, but I just wanted to document for myself the feeling that I'm having, because I haven't had this feeling in a really long time, and it needs to be celebrated and paused on and just lingered in the goodness of it. But so the other day I just woke up and was like, I want to get on Bumble. It feels right, it feels good, and I just want to check it out and see what's out there. More for just a step of myself I needed in my healing. And so I created a quick profile and didn't know how to search for people. I felt overwhelmed, and so I just closed the app. And that was in the evening, and so the next day I opened the app, and there was, I want to say, like 800 likes or interests, whatever it's called. And I kind of scrolled a little bit and was just very overwhelmed again, closed the app. And later on, I was scrolling and I saw someone. I was like, okay, yeah, sure, okay, let's try it. So I accepted it or showed interest as well, and sent like a generic message that Bumble has a list of. Just generic. But I was like, okay. And so I scrolled a bit more. I was like, okay, I'm going to close this again. Maybe I'm not going to be into this dating app thing.
July 18th, 2022.
Hello. So it has been about 24 hours since I created a Tinder account. And after today, I now fully understand why my girl G told me to get off immediately. And not that kind of get off, but get off the app. I pride myself on being a really amazing communicator, but I am clueless on how to communicate in these dating apps. I also have Bumble. Bumble is way better than Tinder, in the sense that guys are way less crude. I've only talked to a couple. I'm just kind of dipping my toe in the water. But I'm going to keep a video journal, I think. This may not continue, but I'm going to keep a video journal because, yeah, my mind is a little blown. And I have a lot to learn. Does anyone even know what they're doing? Because I don't.
So now I'm going to share some numbers with you. I went back through everything and gathered my stats. I was active on dating apps from July 2022 until April 2023. In July, I cast a wide net and created profiles on 5 different dating apps. I mutually matched, connected, and intentionally had conversations with a total of 40 different guys in those 8 months. Yes, you heard that right. 40. If your head just leaned forward, your eyes bulged out, and your jaw dropped, you are not alone. Every friend I shared that with had a similar response. But before you let your judgments commence, hear me out for a minute. I'm going to break down these numbers for you. 18 of those 40 fell to the wayside. 22 of them became planned dates. Out of those 18, 4 ghosted and unmatched me after we exchanged numbers and texted for about a week. After messaging with 7 of them for a little bit, I realized they were catfish profiles and reported them to the apps, which resulted in those accounts being deleted. And the remaining 7? Once I had their phone numbers and did their background checks, I found that they had domestic violence records and because of that, chose not to go out with them. 7. 7 out of 40 guys I matched with had domestic violence records, and a few of them also had restraining orders. That's 17.5% of the guys I interacted with in an 8-month span. We'll come back to this and the background checks in another episode because I believe it's something that needs to be addressed more in depth. Now, out of those 22 planned dates, 4 stood me up and ghosted me. 6 dates ended up being canceled by one of us because we didn't feel romantic connection after conversing on the phone or texting for a while. 12 is the number that I actually met. 2 turned out to be catfish once I met them face to face and I ended our connection after that date. More about that in another episode. 2 of them ended after a few weeks of talking and a date or two. They were good guys. There were just certain things that I knew didn't and wouldn't align with the future that I was creating. And I also just didn't feel the chemistry that I wanted to have with a partner. 6 of them ended mutually because either the distance between where we lived, wanting different things, or we both just felt that connection fizzle. 1 turned into a situationship with the guy you're going to hear a lot about in this podcast, and that leaves 1 unaccounted for. He's my favorite of them all, but he's going to remain a mystery to you. Hopefully by now you've picked your jaw up off the floor. That, or you're still processing. Regardless, I'm moving on. You're about to hear audio that was recorded about 3 weeks into being on dating apps. At that time, I was having difficulty with my phone being too full, so some of the audio is cut off during mid-sentence and is a bit choppy. I referenced 3 different guys. The first one I refer to as B. The second is a guy I felt a really strong connection with. And the third is a match from Bumble. July 24th, 2022.
An update on my dating app status. So yeah, I haven't been active on the apps. I talked to, like 4 or 5 guys, 2 of which actually got my phone number. Both I like. There's 1 I really, really like. And so anyhow, I went out with the 1. We went out for coffee the other day. Yesterday, and that went really well. Really cute, really sweet. His eyes are warm and inviting. He seemed like he was a really good listener. He was open to sharing anything that I asked about, which was nice. I didn't feel like he was hiding anything. So that was nice. And yeah, I felt seen and heard. And he asked a lot of questions too, so, and he was funny. And then it went well. So we had talked about maybe doing something afterwards, depending on how the coffee went, and it went well. So we went for a kayak ride, and that was about 1.5 hours long, and that was really nice. It was really windy. The day was weird. It would go from drizzling to overcast to windy to really sunny, so it was weird, but it was nice to be on the water. Kind of weird, like being on a kayak, just getting to know someone and not being able to look at each other. I like to have that face-to-faceness, but it was still nice, and I think we were able to be a little bit more like sarcastic and silly with each other. And then he asked me to go to dinner with him, and so I wasn't going to, but I did because it just felt good and it felt right, and I was having a really good time. And so we went to dinner, and that was really nice. He picked up the cues that I love the water because I talk about it all the time, and we went to just a little restaurant that we had passed on the river when we were kayaking, and so really good food. And yeah, so we kissed afterwards, and he drove. Like, we met at the coffee place, but then I let him drive us to kayak and to dinner. It was nice. It was sweet. Yeah, so we'll see. I'm going to keep talking. When I see his text come through, I smile. I was a little, like, taken back because he did text me last night, like, hours after our date, that he missed me.
which was sweet, but kind of freaked me out at the same time. Anyhow.
Hey, y'all. All right, so it's Tuesday, July 26th, 2022. I went on a date last weekend and it went great. It was nice. Seemed like a really sweet guy. There's little things since that has made me feel like almost like a bag over my head. And so I think that it's a couple things. Me maybe not being ready. Maybe me not reciprocating the same feelings that maybe he's having. So I'm kind of just moving through it and seeing where it goes. I'm not really sure. The one person that I was really into, really excited about, ghosted me. We messaged and then I didn't hear back from him. So I followed up a couple days later and he never responded. So I'm kind of dealing with the feels of that because I wasn't expecting to feel like this down and sad about it, but I am. And then just like trying to talk to other people on the apps, I have learned that I am not good at flirting. So I have a lot to learn. And how to do it on these apps, I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, so I'm getting unmatched by people. And then there was someone else that I was talking back and forth to for about a week. And then when it came up to, like, we agreed we were going to meet. And then the day before, I just wasn't feeling it. I wasn't feeling connection. So I was honest and sent a message like, hey, I appreciate our conversation, but I'm going to pass on meeting. I'm just not feeling that connection. And so he unmatched me, he didn't respond, which is okay, but I was still like, oh, okay. I don't know why I expected a response, so I'm learning a lot about myself, about people, and I don't know how much longer I could do this, like, dating app thing. That's how I'm feeling in this moment right now. That may change later, but, yeah. I'm also at the same time believing that the universe will have me meet the person at the right time. Like, things will just gel and unfold as they should when they should. So I'm working on trusting that and learning to trust myself and whatever that looks like.
Hey, me again. I'm doing this a lot lately, aren't I? It's Wednesday, July 27, 2022. I'm all up in my feels today. Another vlog update for my dating chronicles. So I've been talking to B, you know, for a couple weeks now. We went on that one date, and he's super sweet. I like him. We made out a little. It was great. Didn't feel any, like crazy spark. I just thought that he was genuinely a nice person. And shared a little bit with Luke and Michael, and just they share a little bit of what they felt were some red flags that I can kind of see now. He invited me to go on a work trip to Cincinnati with him, which I thought it was cute, but I'm not there yet, you know? And, so I told him no. And then I didn't really talk to him much yesterday, not at all really last night. And then I didn't today. And there was a lot of me that kept feeling like throughout the day, like, oh, I should text him. He's probably expecting a text from me. I bet he wants a text from me right now. And for all I know, that's not even the truth. I have no idea what the guy is thinking, right? But this is just like my own projections and stories that I was telling myself. And I'm proud of myself because I didn't give in to that idea. I didn't give in to that talk that was going on in my head to do something that I didn't want to do to make someone else feel better, which is in the past what I would have done. It's my MO, especially with romantic partners, especially. And so I was proud of myself. Like, I just kept saying, no, don't do it because, like, that's what he may need. Do what you need. And so I waited until this evening until it felt right, and then I sent him a text. And I was proud of myself for that. So progress. Yay, let's celebrate a girl. But then also I was just thinking, like, maybe I would be as into him as I think he is into me if I was on the same page as him, if I was feeling and reciprocating what I think he's feeling for me. And because I'm curious and I want to explore, I definitely want to go on another date with him to see if there's something more, and maybe that I just have a block and that's why I wasn't feeling like that genuine spark that I'm looking for, or that genuine something that I'll know once I have it or be with it. But at the same time, not at the expense of hurting him and his heart. And so it's a fine line I'm trying to learn. So yeah, there's this thing with, I don't know if it's like this unhealthy attachment that I have to the idea of him and a possible future. But I just have this connectedness to him already. And so I think I said it the other day in my video, but we were talking back and forth for a few days and then like texting. And then Saturday he sent me a message. I replied. He did not text me back. And so I waited a couple days, but he didn't respond. And so I was feeling really upset about it. Then this evening I had some wine with the girls and I just got into my feelings. And on the way home, I start crying and feeling like doubts that he doesn't even like want to try and see if there's a connection. And I have no idea if that's the case. And if it is, oh well, right? Like, but it's got me sitting here just trying to sit with, do I have an unhealthy attachment to him of this idea of what could be, and because I do like him so much? Or is it me just being me and feeling that genuine connection with him and being attracted to him and feeling that spark and not feeling like it's reciprocated? So I'm really sad and in all my feels. And I think it's maybe a little bit of both. But if it's not reciprocated and he doesn't want to get together, I know that I'm going to be really sad and I'll deal with that as it comes. I'll be honest, I really didn't expect like right away to have a connection with someone like as quickly as I did. I thought that I was going to like have some fun and then there he was. So I'm a little turned upside down, damn it. I'm not happy about it. I am some minutes. Maybe I'll feel different tomorrow. I'm feeling all sorts of emotions. So it could be the wine, it could be that I'm about to get my period, and it could be that I just feel that connection and I don't want it severed. I want to explore it. And then also, Christina, I'm proud of you and I love you, and you are enough as is right now in this moment. You don't have to be put together and be this something else and always have the right response or feeling that you think you should have. You've grown so much, and even if you didn't, I love you and I'm proud of you. That's all I have for now. So I think it's July 29th, 2022. Another update. So I matched with someone on the Bumble yesterday, or maybe the day before, I don't know. but I could tell from his profile he'd only be in the area until the end of next month. His profile, I really liked it. He had stuff about vulnerability and other things that are important to me. But also someone I could tell wasn't looking for like a serious relationship, and that really intrigued me. I was attracted to that idea, and he's very attractive, so I matched with him just to see where that would go out of curiosity. So we texted all day and have been talking since. It seems that we're both very aligned with a lot of things in general with life and with what we would want from this. And I'm just genuinely loving our conversations and chemistry. He's very open. He answered any questions I had. He was being vulnerable with me. And then he asked me a lot of really good questions. Then had great responses, and he just seemed to really be listening to me, and that was nice. So yeah, I'm excited. It would be just like a sexual situation, but one that's very sensual. We want there to be a genuine and passionate connection between us, not just some random fucking a stranger and going our separate ways. We want to essentially make love, but without that attachment of there being an expectation of like a long-term relationship. And I know, like, to some people that seems crazy and wrong. There used to be a time where I felt that way too, but it's something I'm interested in exploring. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. He's very self-aware, confident. He's done a lot of self-work himself, and it's very evident that he has. It's refreshing. And he wants to give a partner such great sexual satisfaction and make sure they're enjoying the pleasure as well. So my experience has been that not a lot of guys enjoy sexually pleasing their partners. They want to be just on the receiving end, not giving, and that's just not going to work for me anymore. I think I do want a long-term relationship at some point in the future, but right now, like, I'm focusing on me and healing and creating the life that I've always wanted, and this seems like something that would work for me really well, and who knows, maybe it won't. But what I've had in the past, it wasn't a good fit for me, and so I'm ready to explore my options and to do so cautiously and safely, but to still have that courage to step into it. So yeah, and I have no interest in having meaningless disconnected sex, and who knows, maybe I'd be good with like a long-term friends with benefits situation, and then when I do feel I'm ready for something more, if I ever get there, then I could have that conversation with that partner to see if that would be something they wanted to. But I'm not there right now. And so, yeah, I'm excited for this guy. And if it doesn't happen at all, like us meeting and having fun and connecting with sex, I'm okay with that too, because I just already appreciate this human so very much and how he's added value to my life. I've always felt like I'm too much for most people, almost everyone. And I dial myself down. And with him, I don't feel like I have to dial down at all. I feel like he just sees me and accepts that and likes me. Also, I feel safe. And I know that sounds so weird, but like I don't remember the last time I felt that way with someone. And I know we just started talking, but there's just some type of something special with him. I'm not sure what it is, but I want to find out. Gosh, can you imagine what some people would say and think about me if they knew any of this? I'd be on all the prayer lists and exiled even more than I am now. But I could use all the prayers seriously, so they can go on with their bad selves and be praying. And honestly, I don't care. I know what I think about me, and I'm good. But yeah, that's it for now. Peace out, yo.
Yeah, I was a bit of a mess with that one guy. I had never experienced ghosting before, nor did I expect to feel a connection with someone so quickly. So both together really threw me. But after time processing it, I was glad it happened the way that it did. I learned that I in fact wasn't ready for a serious relationship, but also it was nice knowing that I was capable of feeling something again, even if it was just a crush on someone. It felt good. On a side note, he did end up texting me a while later and apologized. He said he became exclusive with one of the people he was talking to at the same time, and it was his bad for not communicating that with me. Even though the text came later, I still appreciated the honest communication. I'll always prefer that over the ghosting. It also genuinely brought me joy to know that he found what he was looking for. That's a beautiful thing. More on B in the next episode. Something that I was really hard on myself about, and I mentioned it a couple times in my vlogs, communicating and flirting. Looking back, I see how silly I was being with myself, but at the time, I was really frustrated. I even texted one of my friends about it. This was our conversation. So I'm officially on dating apps.
Uh-oh, DC time's coming. Coffee dates, brunches, dinners.
I had one coffee date. I can understand why you got exhausted from all that. It seems like a lot, LOL.
Please keep me posted, especially let me know when going on a date so I know where you're going to be. It was crazy.
Will do, and good idea.
So are you ready for dating life?
I think so, but I have no idea what I'm getting into, LOL. And I've learned that I have no idea how to flirt.
Honestly, you wouldn't need to know how to. You just need to look at them. They will fall under spell after looking into your eyes.
I can't forget about my superpower.
Never. LOL.
And she was right. Once I started using my superpower, things became much easier. And from there, I also learned that with the right person, flirting comes naturally. It's the organic chemistry at work. The communication thing? Well, that's always a work in progress. I thought it would be fun to share some of the messages I received. So one guy on his profile challenged that if you gave him three words, he'd write you a poem. So being a sucker for poetry, I of course took him up on that offer. The three words I gave him were breathe, square, and explore. This is what he came up with, and I was impressed. Every breath taken is a chance in itself. Don't breathe for its sake or safety or health. That square peg and a round hole stuff at its core. Breathe life with more purpose. Breathe instead to explore. Another one. Hey, Christina. To save time, here it is. I am not looking to settle down. I would like to get all the casual sex out of my system in the next 5 to 8 years. Then, possibly mate for life, similar to the Canadian goose or common penguin. I find you attractive, and even though I cannot see your body in any of your pics, years of using this app have taught me how to gauge this from simply seeing your face and neck. I can tell you are not obese. Therefore, you have met all the criteria for potential dinner, cup of tea, I don't like to drink coffee before sex, or walk through the park. If you could, just provide whatever means of communication is your favorite in your next and only message, as long as it's not WhatsApp. Thanks. May the odds be ever in your favor. I mean, dude, bravo on your cut and paste. That's a guy that knows what he wants and knows how to communicate it. And no, I didn't hook up or meet with him. But again, mad respect for that honesty and not wasting anyone's time. Not long after getting on the dating apps, my tagline became, "You do you, boo, just not with me." If anyone wants to make a shirt for me with that on it, I'm here for it. If you haven't already gathered this much about me, here you go. I'm fascinated and drawn to the study of human behaviors, and in general, I'm a very introspective person. And that's part of the reason I went into this with the mindset of it being a social experiment. My only expectation was to learn and grow. And if I found that special connection and it led to love along the way, great. I wanted to be open to that. During this experience, I repeatedly encountered that many individuals who said they wanted a serious relationship or knew what they were looking for didn't actually have the mental or physical capacity to actually have any type of partner in their life, me included. At least not in the traditional sense that my generation is familiar with, or in the way it's taught in faith-based communities where I come from. After doing a lot of the hard self-work the past 10 years, I've learned that for me personally, these models aren't healthy foundations to build relationships on. That's not to say it doesn't work for other people, though. You do you, boo, just not with me. Some people want that American dream, and some of us, okay, fine, me. I wanted to see what other options I had. And something that was really glaring to me when I went back and listened to my recordings is this. We're all so desperate to have an intimate connection with a partner, yet utterly terrified of it at the same time. The pandemic proved that we can, in fact, live in isolation, but it also proved that we can't. Not in a healthy or sustainable way, anyhow. I don't know what the dating app world was like pre-pandemic, but post-pandemic, it's a clusterfuck of unhealed humans with high expectations, doing their best to navigate a world we didn't see coming nor could have ever prepared for. We weren't given the tools or taught how to move through it. No one was. Relationships are complex enough without adding the aftermath of a pandemic. Some of us are just out here trying to figure out who we are, what we actually want, and how to get there. And now that we know better, we want to do better, so we start doing the hard self-work and hustling to get there. Meanwhile, you've got the other pool of people that have no intention of doing better. The exact opposite, actually. They're out here fishing for their next mark, preying on us and the very things we're working on in ourselves. And my God, it's exhausting. It's taking its toll on us, and we're bleeding it out into our world. I believe we were created for connectedness, but we get lost and entangled in the same nets we cast out. So how do we reclaim our connection to ourselves and our partners without abandoning ourselves or each other? How do we heal and figure out what it is we really want? How do we find and connect with humans that align with what we truly desire without it negatively impacting our well-being and our world? And when do we call out those that need to be held accountable for their harmful behaviors? This is the path I forge in this so-called social experiment. Let's get fishing. My deepest longing and most ravenous craving is also my deepest fear and most dismantling belief. To be fully seen and truly known. To have everything that I've ever been, thought, and done fully exposed. Will they stay or will they go? Will they be like me and run away when they realize they've been deceived? Or will they choose to stay and love despite the grim reality?
I met you, you know, and again, you're like winning the lottery, honestly. Like, you're a beautiful girl, you're a fresh canvas, you're very nice and sweet and sincere, caring, supportive. We have a ton in common, which is crazy. But when we don't have things in common, I think that's going to make us both stronger together.
You know, he's like a English Sherlock Holmes character, if you will.
You and Sherlock Holmes. What is going on with you and Sherlock Holmes? Are you just into the mysteries, huh?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I always have been since I was a kid.
Catching a Catfish is written, produced, edited, and hosted by me, Christina Irene. Cover art is also by me. Music is Drop It by Coma Media, Wave State by Enziter, Sedative by Less FM, The Blackest Bouquet by Leonel Cassio, and Summer Walk by Olexi. Connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at Catching a Catfish Pod and Twitter at Catfish Pod. If you have a dating story or have any questions, you can call or text us at 216-694-8559. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a minute to subscribe, rate, review, and share with your friends. And give us a shout out on social media by tagging us and using the hashtag CatchingACatfishPod. Your feedback and support are greatly appreciated.